News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, May 31st, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss a cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, some U.S. senators are saying the president will need to mediate an immigration reform bill. Also, South Korea is reopening its market to U.S. beef. And the IGC says world wheat carryover could be its lowest in 24 years. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And we'll bring you our weekly roundup of crop progress in the top soy and corn states. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. July wheat, 487 and three quarters, down 14 and a quarter. September, 494 and a half, down 14 and a quarter. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 393 and a half, down 18 and a half. September, 408, down 18. December, 425, down 18 and a quarter. July corn, 251 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. September, 262 and a half, down 3 and a quarter. December, 277, down 2 and 3 quarters. March, 287 and 3 quarters, down 2 and 3 quarters. July beans, 579 and a half, down 4. August, 587, down 3 and a quarter. September, 593, down 3 and 3 quarters. November, 604 and a quarter, down 4 and a half. July soybean meal, 172.40, up 50. July soybean oil, 25.16, down 24. At the Merck August feeders, 109.12.5, down 30. June live cattle, 79.70, down 35. June lean hogs, 68.07.5, up 37.5. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
It was an orderly downturn in the wheat market for much of the day, light volume, some spreading noted, the July to September spread being played a bit. And then right about at 1 o'clock, all heck broke loose. What happened?
Well, we understand, of course, that there was a spread liquidation, but it was bigger than that. Tony Blair came to the U.S., landed in Washington, had high-level meetings with the president at the White House, and I'm sure they discussed the change possibly in Iran. Condoleezza Rice, early morning, talked about an olive branch once again being sent by the Iranian government, and all commodities, basically from the metals market in New York to the oil markets in New York to the commodity markets in Chicago. You can see a different tone when she basically made the statement that there are going to be some informal talks with strings attached. And, of course, you know, it's what, you know, the world leaders want. There is some talk that Iran's wanting to become more mainstream, even with their rhetoric being rather warlike in some respects. So this was a tone set. You know, there was even talk about maybe some wheat from Canada at the price levels. We've heard a lot of talk about basis levels and wheat being quite wide. And we do know that the crop has probably been hurt in the West. The 20-day moving average was broken, but the 40-day is still intact. Massive liquidations hit the pits, and as you mentioned, inter-commodity, intra-commodity market spreads were all a big factor in that big trade.
And July wheat breaking right around $4 at about 1 o'clock or thereabouts to lead the decline to the downside is the official Paul Cooley wheat trend analyzer now to the downside?
No, it's still higher. It may be maybe not as overbought as it was, but as long as the wheat market stays in the I'm going to say around the 385 level on the July futures contract, the trend is still up. Point of interest is that, you know, the outside wheat markets, Minnesota, Minneapolis wheat, and the Kansas City wheat didn't close down quite as severe, but definitely the market spreads were definitely weak. Time will tell about, you know, the future direction, but as of right now, the trend is still higher.
Corn market held up pretty well, given all that was going on in the nearby wheat market.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things here. Our private meteorologist that we have the most confidence in says, you know, big hunk of northwest Iowa, the north half of Nebraska, some of those part states in the Dakotas are still very dry. Was even talked about, some of our western counties and this good corn-producing state of Illinois still have about 80% of normal rainfall for the month of May. The meteorologist that I talked to about 1 o'clock indicated that, yeah, there'll be some rain around east-central Illinois, but it's going to be on a scattered basis. The other big half of the state, the big half growing area, is not going to get much moisture. It's very warm outside, and, of course, the weekend rain is the next shot. So corn still behaved fairly well with all the liquidation. Obviously, they were buying corn, selling wheat, and that market held fairly strong. Once again, we don't see any mad rush of farmers selling either old crop or new crop at this time.
The July corn, do you think that we will test last week's low at 248 at some point, either tomorrow or Friday?
Well, you know, it stood the test, and I think we'll see definitely fairly quickly tonight in the night session just how bearish the corn is. Of course, corn is not the old feed grain, and it's not the old worry about who's going to buy it in the world market. It's an energy commodity, and you know, when we equate to next year and even some this going into growing season, you know, we can understand from a fundamental point of view why corn is so very, very strong at this time.
Over in the soybean pit, we see July breaking a kind of a long-term support level that was set way back in 18 January, 581.25. Now, are we opening to the downside, the April lows?
Well, you know, we are in official downtrend in the soybean market. It was orderly, and we did see this liquidation of long wheat, short soybeans, and that probably tempered some of the soybean loss today. The soybean market is still seeing strong producer holding. The trend is down. Our opinion is that you won't see that nervousness in the bean market until the July-August time frame, or unless there's a major surprise in the June planting intentions report. Let's face it, if you haven't scared the soybean out of the bin yet, you're going to have to wait for further time and price and at least the weather forecast in that July-August time frame before you'll get much major market selling.
Thanks much, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Paul joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. The National Weather Service in Romeoville has issued a flash flood warning for southern Iroquois County in east-central Illinois, that effective until 4:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Otherwise, tonight across the two-state region, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows from 56 to 68 tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Most numerous across Indiana and east central and southern Illinois. Highs ranging from 75 near Lake Michigan to 83 degrees in the south. In agricultural news, ag ministers from the European Union have warned Trade Chief Peter Mandelson not to make a new offer to reduce farm import tariffs in an effort to secure a global trade deal. According to the EU's ag ministers, Europe has reached its limit. In fact, they say it's time for their partners to make new offers. South Korea will reopen its market to imports of U.S. beef on June 7th, but the country will allow only imports of beef processed in facilities the South Korean government has deemed safe. South Korea will allow only imports of beef from cattle less than 30 months of age. Parts regarded as risky, including ribs, must be removed before shipping. Differences in the House and Senate immigration bills promises a bruising conference committee. The Senate version includes a guest worker program that House members say is a non-starter. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the president will have to get involved.
I guess the chances of it getting passed are directly related to the extent to which the president gets personally involved in trying to find a compromise. A compromise is going to be very difficult when you have one house that's very definitely opposed to amnesty and the other house in favor of amnesty.
Grassley says some form of amnesty will need to make the final bill for Senate approval. The International Grains Council says the world wheat carryover at the end of the 2006-2007 marketing year could be the lowest since 1981-82. Wells Fargo economist Michael Swanson.
These are tightening because we've really given up a lot of acres over the last decade, and we've basically haven't planted it. And so demand isn't there. So if we bring back a couple million more acres next year and get a more normal yield, these prices will come right back down. So it's not a demand-driven surge like we're seeing in oil. It's certainly a supply restriction induced price movement.
According to the International Grains Council, world wheat production in 2006-2007 is estimated at 601 million metric tons, 16 million tons less than the previous year. A proposal from the Canadian Food Inspection Agency would allow more U.S. cattle to be exported to Canada. The agency is proposing to lift blue tongue restrictions for all classes of cattle. John Maswell is Director of Government and International Relations with the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. He says a CFIA plan would end a blood test currently required for certain imports.
Right now, there are no restrictions on U.S. cattle coming from 39 states year-round for cattle going into feedlots. What this proposal will do is eliminate the blood test requirement for blue tongue for all U.S. cattle year-round going into feedlots and for breeding stock.
The CFIA is collecting public comments through the end of today. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
We know managing your farm operation is time-consuming, and sometimes you miss hearing our agricultural programming. But now you can get AM 580 Ag delivered daily directly to your computer. You'll never miss a broadcast of the opening and closing market reports and Commodity Week again. Subscribing is easy. We've put instructions on our website at WILLAG.org. Look on our homepage for Subscribe to AM 580 Podcasts. It's quick and easy, and you'll always be informed with timely market analysis. Drop by our website today, WILLAG.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In its weekly crop progress roundup, USDA says 97% of the corn crop is planted. The five-year average is 93%. The corn crop is 85% emerged compared with 83% a year ago and the five-year average of 77%. USDA rates the corn crop 70% good to excellent, up 4 percentage points from last week. For soybeans, USDA says 79% is planted compared with 79% a year ago and the five-year average of 68%. 42% of soybeans have emerged compared with 47% a year ago and the five-year average of 39%. Here is our weekly roundup of the top corn and soybean states.
This is Brad Schwab, director with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 28th. Hot weather across the state last week helped with crop emergence and growth. Temperatures averaged 6 degrees warmer than normal statewide for the week, which is bringing corn plants back to a healthy green color. Rainfall totals varied from none to 2 inches or more, with the heaviest rains falling in east and southeastern Illinois, causing continued delays in soybean planting. Farmers are now evaluating stands in early planted corn and soybean fields that were slow to emerge to determine the need for replanting. Topsoil moisture supplies statewide were rated 1% very short, 12% short, 75% adequate, and 12% surplus. The southeast and east crop reporting districts are still being reported as the wettest areas of the state with ratings of 29 and 26% surplus. Taking a detailed look at the crop progress numbers for the week, corn emergence has reached 92% compared to 97% 1 year ago and 85% for the five-year average. The average height of all emerged fields came in at 7 inches, 1 inch shorter than 1 year ago, but the same as the five-year average. Overall, the corn crop was rated in mostly good condition. The planting of soybeans made excellent progress at 78% complete, however, still trails last year's 96%, but was ahead of the five-year average of 71%. Emergence of soybeans reached 39%, compared to 77% 1 year ago and 49% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean emergence was the West District at 67%. This is Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 28th. Wet fields, crusting combined with cool temperatures have caused pockets of poor germination and emergence across parts of the state. Farmers may be faced with some replanting. Spotty showers continue to delay planting of corn and soybeans. Topsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 0% short, 60% adequate, and 40% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 66% adequate, and 32% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.44 to 4.42 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 92 to a low of 33 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 3.5 days were rated as suitable for field work. Despite the spotty rains, corn planting made good progress for the week in Indiana with 89% complete, ahead of the five-year average of 85%, but behind 98% for this time last year. 71% of the planted corn acreage has emerged compared with 89% last year and 73% for the five-year average. Corn condition for the week was rated at 53% good to excellent. 58% of the intended soybean acreage was planted compared to 88% for last year and 68% for the five-year average. By area, 66% of the soybean acreage was planted in the north, 60% in central Indiana, and 38% in the south. Soybeans emerged averaged 30% compared with 61% last year at this time and 51% for the five-year average.
This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office in Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending May 28, 2006. Crops and livestock are doing well, even with near-record high temperatures at week's end. There were 5.4 days suitable for field work last week, compared to 4.6 days last year. The windy weather helped dry the topsoil and previously cut hay, while the ground beneath remained moist and warm. Soil exposed to the sun and wind has crusted, making it difficult for new plants to emerge, but plants already up are doing well. Topsoil moisture rated 77% adequate, 7% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 73% adequate and 7% surplus across the state. Corn emerged averaged 92%, 1 percentage point ahead of previous year's progress and 6 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. Corn condition is reported as 2% poor, 20% fair, 59% good, and 19% excellent. Soybean progress improved the most and is reported above average with soybeans planted at 94%, 6 days ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybean emergence increased more than 40 percentage points statewide since last week to 56%, which is 11 percentage points ahead of last year and 16 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. This has been Brad Parks with USDA National Ag Statistics Service, Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Are farmers holding their crops tight to their vest?
Yes, they are. It was a very quiet day today, and my guess is until we make new contract highs, farmers feel pretty content with what they've got sold and are waiting for those contract highs before they make that next sale.
Looking at the basis in Illinois here, Chicago, and I'm talking corn right now, 14 under unchanged. Decatur, 14 under unchanged. Central Illinois, 12 under, up one today. Look at the beans. Central Illinois, 15 under unchanged. Quincy on the river, 19 under, up one today. Champaign, 18 under unchanged. Reason I bring these numbers up, they're really some of the best bases across the nation right now.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't seen a lot of movement in Decatur. Some of the processors have to have that grain moving all the time. So these are good bases compared to other parts of the state and other parts of the Midwest. I guess the bad news is, if you're looking at from a farmer's point of view, compared to the last 3 or 4 years, these are pretty wide basis levels. But there's no indication those basis levels are going to get dramatically better. There's just too much of the old crop out there. The buying interest from the funds and other traders are basically in the 07 and 08, and the 06 is kind of tagging along for the ride. But we really are not short old crop corn or beans for that matter. And a good indication of that is this wheat market with wheat harvest about a month away, less than a month away. People are realizing they're going to have to move something. You know, the bins are full of old crop corn and old crop beans, and that wheat is either going to have to be stored or moved. And so it feels like the wheat wants to move, but yet we've seen basis levels, you know, drop dramatically from the 30-40 under level down to 60-65 under on the river. So that's a pretty good indication that there's plenty of grain out there. We can't store it all.
Your prices today, sir?
Cash corn finishes the day at 237. New crop corn, 253. Cash beans are 561. New beans are 580. Cash wheat, 363. New crop wheat, also 363.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. And in about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. McLean County jail policies are being reviewed after a guard was attacked with a makeshift knife during an escape attempt by a man charged with killing an Illinois State University student last fall. McLean County Sheriff David Owens today also says Maurice Wallace is being supervised by multiple guards whenever he leaves his cell in the wake of Sunday's incident. Wallace is charged in the slaying of 21-year-old ISU senior Olamide Adeoye. He also now faces charges in the guard attack. The Illinois Board of Higher Education says enrollment of underrepresented groups at state universities has gone up nearly 5 percentage points over the past 10 years, with Hispanics showing the greatest improvement. Spokesman Don Sevner says programs to encourage minority and female enrollment are part of the reason for the improvement, but he says more needs to be done to make sure minority students complete their college education. Officials at Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, say a student who authorities said was killed in a van crash last month is alive. 18-year-old Whitney Chirac of Gaylord, Michigan, actually has been hospitalized since the crash. She was mistaken for another student, 22-year-old Laura Van Ryn, who died in the crash. 4 students and a staff member were killed when a semi-trailer crossed an Indiana interstate median and collided with their school van. Democrats in the Indiana Senate say they'll no longer accept special state health care retirement benefits. Senate Minority Leader Richard Young says senators shouldn't get benefits greater than what other state employees receive. Republicans in the House and Senate have also scaled back the perk. The days of the power company sending someone from house to house to read electric meters may soon be history in Champaign, Urbana, and Danville. Ameren has been installing equipment on its household and commercial meters that will read them automatically and relay the data back to the utility's billing center. Ameren spokeswoman Natalie Hemmer says meter reading modules will be installed on some 186,000 meters in and around Champaign-Urbana and Danville by early next year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Looks like we're kind of moving into a summertime weather pattern across the corn and soybean belt. Did I get it right?
I think you did, but we're going to take a little bit of a break from the pattern that we started to go into last weekend. Over the next week, we're probably going to be in what we call a northwesterly flow pattern aloft, and that's basically going to be bringing some cooler air, or I should say maybe milder air, out of Canada and into the heart of the Corn Belt. And in this pattern, we'll also generate some shower and thunderstorm activity every once in a while. Most of the rainfall, though, will be rather light, and I don't think that it's going to have a big impact on soil moisture, although we probably won't dry out nearly as quickly as we would otherwise. The high-pressure ridge that gave us all the heat last weekend is tucked away far to the west right now. We'll stay out there for at least the next 5 days, maybe as much as a full week. And by the far west, I'm talking about the Rocky Mountain region, maybe getting back into the western plains for a brief period of time this weekend and early next week. But it gets no closer to the Corn Belt than that. And so all the heat will be mostly confined to the plains and certainly outside of Corn Belt country. Now, in the second week of the two-week forecast, we will see a little bit more summer-like conditions occur, especially west of the Mississippi River. Most of those western Corn Belt states will see temperatures back in the 80s and 90s, starting around the 10th of June and continuing right on out through mid-month. Now, the eastern Corn Belt will probably still be far enough away from that high-pressure center that we'll still see a northwesterly flow pattern and still keep those temperatures in a seasonable range, probably running often in the 80s, maybe a few upper 70s every once in a while during that second week of the forecast, and will also continue to produce at least a few showers every once in a while across the eastern Corn Belt. The only areas in the U.S. that will probably see a significant amount of drying over the next couple of weeks will probably be in the plains, the west central and southwestern portions of the Corn Belt, the delta in a small portion of the southeastern states, probably Georgia and Alabama and maybe parts of Florida.
So it seems like we can expect that soybean planting will be in excess of 90% when USDA reports next Monday.
I think that's probably true. Our greatest delay in field work will occur over the next couple of days as the rain and thunderstorm activity gradually diminishes and shifts off to the southeast. And after that, whatever precipitation occurs thereafter over this balance of this week will be brief and light, and they should see additional field work of significance.
Looks like the U.S. hard red winter wheat area got some good showers. Is that going to continue the rest of the week?
It will continue for the balance of today and probably tomorrow, but after that I think we'll be diminishing the precipitation, and we'll probably focus the rain on the southern half of the region now from Kansas southward into Texas. We are delaying some of the early harvest progress across Oklahoma and a few spots in Texas, but I don't expect the rains to be persistent enough to cause any kind of a grain quality issue. We will look for drier weather and warmer conditions to occur again this weekend and continue into the early part of next week, and that should help to stimulate a quick dry down across the region and get harvesting back underway in southern areas. The next chance for generalized rainfall may hold off for quite a while in wheat country, but some shower and thunderstorm activity will begin to pop up again sometime during middle to latter part of next week, but the rains won't be anywhere near as significant as they have been this week.
You look at China, it looks like southeastern China should ship some of its rain to east central China.
Well, you would think that that would be the case. It may not occur right away. I think east central sections of China are probably looking at a drier bias for a while here. The next week to 10 days, we'll probably see net drying occur in some of that very important coarse grain and oilseed production region. Right now, there's one province in east central China that is considered to be too dry. The rest of the region is in pretty good shape right now. The outlook is for that drier bias to expand a bit, though, as we go through the next 10 days. And that may catch the market's attention a little bit, but I don't think we're looking at any kind of a critical situation, at least not for a while.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner, Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on our website. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.